Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction novel that I read as I read. Now, there's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish the book. I put the book up here, the review up here in the podcast feed, except this time out, because actually this time I decided to wait a little bit after this doing this review, just so, you know, iTunes doesn't stop. It's just so it doesn't not download things. Yeah, it'll work it out. Whatever happens is whenever I normally release two podcasts in one go, the latest podcast gets like twice as many listeners downloads as the second to last one, because, you know, iTunes just downloads the latest one automatically and not the second latest one. I think that's the default setting. Anyway, so I'm going to save this one, even though I'm reviewing this book just the day after I reviewed the previous book. A little bit of news. Well, no really new news. Check out my latest novel. I put it up there on my website. It's called Combat. Find it at lukeburge.com/fiction.html. I think that's the page that you need to go to find all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, just go to my website. There's a link there right from the front page. Oh, yeah, and also check out my blog as well. I'm posting lots of photos there. And also, I did this interesting post about something I've wanted to talk about for a long time, and that's about spiritual experiences and atheism. You know, talking a little bit more about, you know, what it was like to be a Christian and now what it's like not to be a Christian, things like that, which is an interesting read. I got some great discussion back through different emails about that, but check it out as well. You can just find that there on my blog. What I'm actually thinking of doing, though, is actually maybe on episode 100, which will be coming up in a few weeks' time or a few months' time, is to actually take a bit of time out and talk a little bit, not actually just review a book, but maybe talk a little bit about sort of science fiction and reading and its influence on my own life and on my own personal philosophy in life, and you know, and how that's been informed by science fiction reading and science fiction ideas and things like that, and share that with you. I'm not sure. I'd have to make some notes about that, because it's not just a review that I can do off the top of my head. But if you're interested in that kind of thing, maybe for like a special 100 and a half or 99 and a half episode or something like that, I'll do it. So getting on to today's novel, it is called Starfish. And it is by Peter Watts. Now, back in January, I read Peter's latest novel, which was called Blindsight. And it was good, actually, because I sent him an email saying, thanks a lot for releasing your work online for free, as, you know, Creative Commons, and letting people download it for free. And he actually then listened to my podcast review about his novel, and we had a quick backs and forwards email discussion. Not very many emails backs and forwards, but it was quite interesting. He said, check out this PowerPoint presentation about vampire domestication, because in Blindsight there is this vampire stuff going on there. So I do recommend you go over to, I think it's rifters.com or something like that, rifters.net, and to just search for Peter Watts Rifters, and you'll be able to find his website. The good thing is that for all the novels that he releases online, there's a lot more like supplementary material there on his website, and the PowerPoint is about 45-minute long PowerPoint about vampire domestication, and you should check it out. The other thing that we noticed was that I was talking to him about the sort of like the scientific approach to monsters, as in vampires and stuff, and mentioned my own writing, which is something to do with I was rewriting a classic alien story from the point of view of the alien, and he said, hey, check it out, that's what I did as well. And because he wrote rewrote the story of John Carpenter's movie The Thing, set in Antarctica with the shape-shifting alien, and he wrote that story again from the alien's point of view. He says it was the most difficult thing he's ever done, and from my own point of view, doing the same kind of thing, telling a well-known story from the alien's point of view, it was so difficult for me that I didn't actually manage to finish the novel. But I will get onto it again soon. Probably again, I'll have another go in June, because I'll be working a lot in June away from home, so I'll be able to do that. And also, I found after now reading this book, Starfish, there's another, there's quite a big subplot in my first novel, Minding Tomorrow, which is actually a big part of the book Starfish. I'm not going to go into it now, because it would be a bit of a spoiler for my own work and for this work as well, but it is quite interesting that we obviously have like not so much similar ideas, but similar kind of things that we like to think about and talk about within fiction. And that's great, because that means when I'm reading his work, I get a lot out of it. So Starfish was released back in 2000, I think it was, and it's probably around about, what, 400 pages long. I actually downloaded it and read it on my iPhone, it was quite strange because I was reading it and I was thinking, oh, this is a quick book. And I was going through and I was going through and suddenly it just stops. And I was like, ah, faulty download. And then I had to go back and download it again and get the full novel. And the first time I'd read it, it was only around about, probably between about a half and two thirds of the novel there. And so what I thought was coming up to the end, I was like, wow, this is a really strange book. And this happens to me quite often when you're not quite sure how much of the book that you've got to go, and the pacing felt really off or not off or something like that. So the world, it's set in the world, set in the near future, well, not the near future, maybe like late 21st century. And what's happened is there's too many people on Earth and there's not enough food and not enough energy. The sea level is rising, and what's happening, especially in America, although it's quite vague, it's sort of like all happening in the background, is that lots of people trying to move inland, and lots of refugees are moving inland, but they're being kept near the coast by the people like in the inland part of America and the world, or all the islands and stuff. So you've got these like massive overpopulation, starvation, and all this different kind of stuff going on around the coast, and the people in the middle are trying to sort of keep them away. But again, that's sort of just like a background thing. It's not mentioned a huge amount. What happens is really that all the action in the book focuses on this small group of people called Rifters. And the way that what a Rifter is someone who works at the bottom of the ocean. The reason they live at the bottom of the ocean is that on the sort of on the ridges where the tectonic plates push apart, and you get these like spurting, you know, sort of volcanic eruptions and stuff going on like constantly there. And because the volcanoes are right there on the surface, they go, okay, we're going to get the energy, all the hot water bubbling out of the seabed here, which has made its way underneath the tectonic plates, and we're going to use that energy and pump it back to the land. And so about 300 miles off the coast of, I think, sort of like Seattle, Vancouver kind of area, is a rift, and the Rifters go there. And these are people who are have been modified in their bodies. They have like one of the lungs is taken out and is replaced by a sort of fish lung kind of thing, like a gill system, like a mechanical thing which extracts the oxygen out of the water. And you know, sort of like works as a lung in that way. And all of their bodies have been sort of like genetically enhanced and you know, different modifications put in, so they can actually swim around outside at the bottom of the ocean, like 3,000 meters underneath the surface, right down there at the bottom of the ocean. And they have like these skin suits, which are like wetsuits, but like keep them warm and stuff. And then also they have these eye patches, which is a big part of the novel actually, because they have these sort of like these contact lenses that they put in, and the contact lenses make it so they can see even outside when there's absolutely no light at all, and just some sort of glowing fish swimming past. But that light is enough once they have these augmented vision. And the way that the way it works though is that these people who live down there, there's this one station which all the action concentrates around, is called Beeb Station, and they're looking after the energy factories and, you know, getting energy from the vents. But these people are they're sort of like, some of them are psychopaths, some of them are child molesters, some of them are victims and stuff. And they're all these people who aren't really suited for going out in normal society, but down at the bottom of the ocean where there's just six of them working together, and the outside of the craft that they're in, outside of the station, it really does reflect their inner psyches and their own psychology and things like that. So this is what one of the main themes is that they go out and they never leave their skins, and they're meant to come back inside, and it's like nobody would ever want to live down here, but they never want to take the caps out of their eyes, and they never sleep, and sometimes they sleep outside and stuff. But they found their niche. Their niche is at the bottom of the ocean, which, to be honest, isn't that subtle, but it's very clever. And that's what I really liked about it. All these characters down there, I sort of, even though they're like child molesters and psychos and weird people, I actually liked all of them. Or if not liked, I could really identify with them, because most of the book, like the first two thirds of the book, is like just a like an exploration of their characters, and I found them more human than most humans. Even though they're not human, they're meant to, you know, the other people describe them as vampires and things like that. But I actually found them very human and very interesting to read about, because mostly it's like, oh, this person's going down there, this person's doing there. And of course, some of them, they come and go because it's very dangerous down there, but not just dangerous like that they could have a volcano burst on top of them, but also that they might hurt each other, or they might hurt themselves, or they might get lost and stuff. So at one point, somebody does die down there, and they just send a message back going, "We lost Nigel," and that's it. So send a replacement, "We lost Nigel," and nothing more is sent backs and forwards, because the people who sent them down there know exactly what these people are like. There is a few chapters from the point of view of a psychologist who goes down there and tries to assess them and tries to work it out as well, and he finds it very interesting. And yet you can sort of see him taking on some of their characteristics of being down in this dark, strange place. The main character is called Lenny Clark, and yeah, quite an interesting kind of character there as well. She's not a typical hero. She's like very much a victim. But sort of, this is one of the themes that comes out in the book, is like being a victim is quite addictive, and she's like looking to be a victim again. She's always looking for more people to become victims of or something. Again, a bit, little bit weird, but very interesting there. The plot, though, is quite strange. The plot, the first half, like I say, when I was reading this, the book finished before the plot really got going. Because mainly the plot doesn't get going until around about three quarters of the way through it. The first half is all, like you say, it's the life and times of the Rifters. And it's very interesting, like it meanders around a bit and the characters come and go, but I found that very, very interesting. And then suddenly, in the second half, like two-thirds of the way through, something else turns up and they find this thing a little bit further away from the vents and this strange object, and then there's some strange orders to come down from above, and there's some strange actions, you know, some of the Rifters start doing this thing as well. And then, of course, it turns into this conspiracy kind of thing, and more's going on than they've been told about. And then there's this huge, big action kind of spectacular ending. And that's really strange, because the time that we spent with these characters, once we get to the big ending, we realise that they're not the most important characters in the story. They're key characters, they're vital characters, but they're not the ones making the decision to move the plot forward. So to suddenly, like, for the last third of the book, last quarter of the book, suddenly the plot moves forward, but the only way to move the plot forward is to go, wait a second. Okay, let's leave the guys down there in the bottom of the ocean trench, or no, ridge, and let's go and talk to the psychologist over here. Oh, and then let's go and talk to this person who's actually running the company, this energy company who's doing this. And then, and let's go and talk to this person over here. Now, there is a like glimpse of this right at the very beginning, like the first chapter is told from the point of view of a character who pops up again later. But for the most part of the book, the story is talking about the Rifters at the bottom of the ocean, but then when the plot that finishes off the book really gets going is we can't do the whole plot because they're just some ignorant Rifters down at the bottom of the ocean. We have got to go off somewhere else, which again wasn't just like that it was unsatisfying, but it actually meant the pacing of the book felt quite a bit off, and it felt like the start of a much longer book. And I guess it is a much longer book because there's two or three sequels to this, which I will get round to reading. I think I'll read them quite soon because I don't want to leave too long between them, because it really does feel like the end of this book is really just like the opening act in a longer story. You know, like often like the story will start off like with a narrow focus and then widen out, and then the narrow focus that we had at the beginning really plays back into the end of it, you know, when the whole world is in peril and they've got to save the world. It's the actions and the decisions that take place with this small group, this narrow focus at the beginning, which will play out later on. And that's what I want to see more of, except that we didn't get that had to happen. All the characters who were hanging around at the beginning have no impact at the end of the novel, which is very strange. So I could have been happy to like stop reading like maybe two-thirds of the way through and go, okay, that's the introduction book, and then pick up the next story, like the sequel, at sort of like the one quarter, struggling to say this, like the one quarter before the end of this story should be the start of the next book. Well, that's just the way that I felt. But however, it was quite interesting, an interesting plot once we actually got to it. Moving on, what I've got else here. Oh yeah, the technology is really interesting. Like I said before, they've got the all of the stuff that goes on about living down at the bottom of the ocean is very interesting. All the technology that goes down there, you can see that Peter Watts, this is his area of interest, this is his area of expertise in a way. Actually, I think he does have some kind of, you know, I think he is some kind of marine biologist. So all the talk about the different life forms that are down at the bottom, all this sort of glowing fish and the big fish and the gigantic fish and then the small fish and the glowing fish and the fish with big teeth but thin bones and all of that kind of stuff, really, really interesting. The, like I said, the technology of living down at the bottom of the ocean, the different technologies there, which, like, one person has this normal skin suit and their lungs have been replaced, and somebody else comes down, but they have, like, a non-lung replacement way of going outside and walking and talking outside of the subramine. And you know, it's a bit like The Abyss. You know, like, you go down at the end of the movie, The Abyss, they go down there and find alien life at the bottom, which, no, that doesn't happen in this book, but, you know, it's that same kind of technology, pumping your lungs full or collapsing your lungs and all that kind of stuff. I liked the control technology. Instead of just having computers, they have these things called gels, which are like arrays of human brain tissue, but not human personalities and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, that's the way it's worked out. And there's lots of different switches and widgets and doodahs and things that are used throughout the novel as well, which is really good. A few strange things about it, though. There's this whole Gansfeld thing, which I always think is a bit hokey and not really needed, which is like the mind-to-mind communication, which I thought, it's pushing it a bit too far. It's not really needed in the book. Interesting in the book, not really needed for the plot. I don't think they could have, you know, the characters could have got by without that. And again, it felt a little bit too magical. And it sort of explained away, the quantum tubules in the brain. It's that whole kind of quantum tubules in the brain, which people know that I'm always a bit suspicious of when it comes up in fiction. Here, it's not done as bad as it was in Hominids, but it's pretty good, though. Moving on. The writing I actually really like, because it gets on with it. It's like, here is the pertinent point of this scene, and now the scene is over. Now let's go to the next scene. So there's lots of very brisk, short chapters or sub chunks in chapters, which I really like. And when there's a conversation, it's just this is the bits of the conversation that you need to know, and now that's it, and they move on, and now it's a week later, and now let's do this. But and I really like that style of writing, lots of short little episodes, lots of short vignettes, and you realize that it's not that he doesn't just say what's important. You realize that there's other bits going on between what's happened which are also important, but instead of going, and now Lenny thought back to here, and then she thought back to there, and then this also happened the last time we go in, and this happened, and this had happened, you know, the had-hads, which I talk about on previous podcasts. There's not a lot of that. It just gets on with it. It's like, this is what they've done, this is where they are now, and let's go. Another great thing about the writing is it's very, very dark, very depressing, very suppressive. Of course, we're at the bottom of the ocean a lot of the time, but you've got a lot of this kind of, like, gothic horror kind of stuff going on at the same time. Sort of, like, quite almost in a way like cyberpunkish as well, where it's just like, okay, it's just assumed to be a dystopia, and now let's just run with it. And yes, it's very good. I really enjoyed the writing. It's a very brisk read as well. Finally, talking about like the themes of the book, there's a lot going on here. You know, there's the whole sort of social dynamics of sociopaths, which is very interesting. And again, I don't really have a lot of insight into this kind of thing, but it seems very well portrayed and very interesting the way he does it. And the whole sort of victimhood of the main character is quite strange, to have like a main character who is almost completely passive and is like wanting abuse in a way. But then the strange thing is that all of the themes, all of the stuff that's going on down there, like the whole idea of, okay, who can survive in the depths? Like people who can't survive in normal life, and they'll fit in down there. That's great. But then by the end of it, the whole sort of, like I said before, there's this whole action finale doesn't have a huge amount to do with the characters who are down there in the first place. So that's really strange, that they got this whole sort of like thematic exploration, which then isn't paid off with the final kind of section at the end of the novel. It's just a bit of pity. There's, of course, that whole sort of living and working under stress. And there's lots of kind of like the future is going to hell kind of ideas as well. Big business is bad. Also, don't turn over too much control to other people. You know, keep control for yourself. Don't turn it over to technology. Don't turn it over to big corporations, because you're always going to get screwed over and things like that. So, of course, there's other stuff going on here as well. But I'm really struggling here, because normally I talk for a lot longer. Maybe this is one of those short novels, which is, I found it very interesting. I found it very enjoyable. But now it's sort of like, well, there it is. And I don't have a lot to talk about. So maybe a whole podcast being finished up in maybe 20 minutes here is the way it's going to go this time out, which is a bit strange for me, because normally I have a lot more to say. But anyway, still, it's a good book. I didn't enjoy it quite as much as Blindsight, but maybe because I think Blindsight is just a better book. You know, it's a fourth novel rather than a first novel. This doesn't feel too much like a first novel, except that the story itself is a bit all over the place. But the writing is really good. The characters are interesting. The situation is interesting. Plot a bit off. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars out of 4 stars, but because it is pretty good, above average definitely, but not a great book, not a fantastic book, I don't think. But it will make me read the next book in the series, which is something to do. I think it's called Behemoth, or one of the books in the series is called Behemoth. But whatever the next book in the series is, I have already downloaded it to my computer and will load it up and read it soon. Probably not next. The next book I'm going to read is a book that I downloaded. It's an audio book from Audible, and it's called The Doomsday Book by Connie Willis. And I've heard good things about it, and it's another book by a female author, which is always good to get to, always good to find out about. So that's about it. Thanks for listening. You can check out my blog, which is lukeburge.com/blog. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at lukeburge on Twitter, or Twitter/lukeburge. Also on goodreads.com, become my friend on there. Follow my what I'm reading, and that's a great way to suggest books to me. goodreads.com/lukeburge. Or the final way that you can get in contact with me is luke@juggler.net. That is my email address. Email me about anything at all. I reply to every single email that I get, and I really love having conversations in that way. So, thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.